I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the most haunted city on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And that's Patrick.
Patrick!
For those of you who don't watch on YouTube, Patrick is our light-up bat that is now behind us. And the pair of junkies named him Patrick, so
yes.
He is now here for the intro.
And Nora Etheridge said something super funny in the comments just now. This is my first time getting to see Patrick. I love him.
Yes.
He's the catch.
Yes, indeed.
He is.
Indeed. The spooky season is great for, you know, outfitting your spooky little dive.
It's true.
Spooky little dive. I like that.
That's a way to describe it. But yes. Okay, cool. Well, today we are going to be doing a Q&A, and we'll get into that in just a second, but we do have a few announcements. So as of right now, when you are listening to this, if you are not a Parajunkie, episode one just became available to you for Beneath the Cobblestone.
Woo,
so,
woo.
Yes, if you are wanting to listen to our radio play that we have worked really, really hard on, it's an amazing, storyline that JT has curated for y'all. I'm in it. I play Maeve, and Chris is also in it, along with our gang of spooky fiends. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Episode two has already been given to the Parajunkies. So if you are, after you listen to it, if you're super invested and you want to get episode two way in advance, definitely go ahead and consider becoming a Parajunkie.
Oh, yeah.
On top of that, though, Patreon actually just released that they are changing the game, which is super exciting. It's changing our Parajunkie world, if you will. They're adding like a ton of different stuff. They're adding live streams. They're adding group chats. They're adding feeds. Eventually, I don't know when it's going to become public, but eventually you'll be able to follow us on there and follow our feed even without being a paid patron, which is super exciting. So definitely keep an eye out and an ear out for when changes like that happen. We've already put into effect group chats for the Parajunkies, and they've already been loving it. So definitely keep an ear out, because there's going to be some pretty exciting stuff happening over on our Patreon. And speaking of Parajunkies, we do have a few new Parajunkies to thank as well. So L. Doherty, we want to thank them, Mimi, Kirsten Nichols, Laura Sleeper, and Sky J. So thank you guys so much for becoming Parajunkies. And if you are considering becoming a Parajunkie, now is a great time to do so, because when we hit 140 Parajunkies, we're going to be going to Waverly Hills. So
woo-woo.
That's super exciting. So if you want to see us go over there and do an investigation, which is one of the more notorious places in the South Midwest region of the United States, yeah, if you will. It's Kentucky's kind of in a weird spot.
It's just central, just right there.
It's right there.
Right, right there.
So, yes, if you want to see us investigate Waverly Hills, definitely consider becoming a Parajunkie. We are close to hitting 140. So we would definitely appreciate it. And also, it's not even just for the Waverly Hills trip. It's growing that community, as well as it helps us, you know, fund different projects and things like that we want to do. So funding the radio play, helping us get better live streaming equipment so that we can live stream for y'all, sending us to haunted locations so that way we can do those investigations and bring back that information to y'all. So definitely consider becoming a Parajunkie if you're teetering on the edge.
Yes.
And then last announcement, if you haven't already, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Or literally anywhere you get your podcasts.
Exactly. Anywhere you get your podcasts. They definitely help us out a ton when you leave those 5-star ratings. So if you've been listening for a while, or even if you just started listening, we definitely would appreciate
that. It takes seconds, and we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And every time you do it, the algorithm pushes our podcast to new viewers. And so it really does help us. So yeah. Cool, cool.
All right.
Ready to get into the Q&A.
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and start it up. This one is from Brittany. I cut the last names off of because
yep.
it was emails.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Cool, cool. This one's from Brittany. Hey, Madison, Chris, and JT. I'd like to say first that this is my favorite show. Madison and Chris, you've taught me so much. There's no other show like it, and please never stop. Okay. Okay, fangirling over. Especially here's my question.
I love that. That's yeah. awesome.
Okay, fangirling over. Here's my question. I've seen ghosts my whole life. Not like full entities, but they're definitely ghosts. Whenever I've seen spirits, it's almost always in the middle of the night when I can't sleep or just get up to pee or get water. I know I'm not alone here, so why do certain times like 3 a.m. have more paranormal occurrences?
So, first off, it's interesting that a lot of times I actually tell people when they go on an investigation, go a little bit tired because your guards are a little bit down when you're sleepy. So it's more common to have the ability to see spirits or interact with spirits when you're a little less on edge, if you will. When we're so focused on life and just getting through our day to day, it's really easy for us to just brush past things. So it's not surprising that you always see them at night or things like that. But also a lot of times it's, you know, you'll have spirits that are more active at night because there's less going on. Chris always gives the watering hole sort of analogy where, you know, if everybody's down at the watering hole and drinking up all the water and it's super crowded, nobody really wants to fight through that, especially if you're a spirit where it's already hard enough to fight through that. So you go when the watering hole is empty. In a way, I'm sure I butchered your analogy.
Well, no,
but
I mean that's the basics. You kind of keep in mind that we use a lot of psychic energy when we're awake, when we're busy, when we're doing things, and everybody's buzzing around. And you know, if you have any question, just ask anybody who has social anxiety. You put a person in a group in a large crowd, you can just feel all that energy is being pulled in every direction, and you know that goes quadruple for a spirit. Spirits don't belong on this plane. The physical world is meant for physical beings, and so the energy that we use psychically is the energy that they will ultimately be tapping into to present themselves to do anything. And when the vast majority of people are asleep, when they're not actively, you know, utilizing the energy of this plane, that's when the spirits get access to that energy and can show themselves. And that's why, like, if you have that broad daylight ghost, that's a powerful entity. It's not relying on the well being empty. It's shoulder to shoulder with the living, utilizing energy and presenting itself. So I always say that, you know, a daytime ghost is a powerful ghost, but ghosts at night generally have more power, more intent, and more ability.
All right. So this question is related to a comment by a different person, because we're going to do the comment of the week, comment on YouTube of the week. And this is from Oksana Bonita 996. I saw the Hat Man once when I was 6. I was fully awake, but I was in bed and supposed to be going to sleep. Bedroom door was open, hallway light was on. I saw him glide across the linen closet door. He has dark black tall hat, had the brimmed hat, and was holding slash carrying an axe.
Oh.
As he glided along the wall and went into my mom's room that was next to mine. It scared me so badly. I immediately yelled out for my mom, who came into my room, didn't believe what I saw and told me to go to bed. I did have a very traumatic childhood, so I'm not sure if there is a very not sure if there is a link there or not, but also saw regular shadow people in our basement all the time, along with other full body ghosts I saw in our backyard. Once during the day and another time at night. I've also had many paranormal experiences throughout my life. Always have been intrigued by the Hat Man and am deep diving into trying to figure out why so many of us saw him as a children. Great video, and that was on our Hat Man video. Okay. Very, very, very popular Hat Man video on YouTube. So I wanted to read that for the comment of the week because I thought it was very interesting. Do you want to discuss, like, the axe? I knew that Chris would react vocally to the axe. So I didn't know.
That's a new one.
Don't usually have props with the Hat Man. It's something that's interesting. And when you go looking for the Hat Man, when you start deep diving into the Hat Man phenomena, something that is worth remembering is that for centuries, it was uncommon for men to walk around without hats. Hats were a common accoutrement. It wasn't until the mid-20th century that wearing a hat was, you know, not the norm, that people didn't carry their hats around with them or wear them often. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that hats served multiple purposes. You know, they created shade, for one thing. They kept your ridiculous hair from being ridiculous. So hats were a big part. So there are going to be spirits, naturally, that still have hats, you know, still identify as, well, if I'm going around, I got to wear a hat. You know, when I was in the Army, you had to wear a hat no matter what when you went outside. And when I got out of the Army, every time I took a step outside, I patted my pants looking for my hat because you just knew that the moment you stepped outside, your cover had to be on. So that kind of idea that, you know, what you might have seen may not have been the Hat Man in the absolute form that we are kind of noting the Hat Man in his observing thing, because he had an axe. That's a new one on me. Mm-hmm. That would suggest that maybe what you were seeing was, you know, depending on where you were living, a pioneer person, a farmer, somebody who lived there and worked there and carried an axe. But I'll go ahead and say I don't like ghosts with axes. I'm gonna go on record. I know it's controversial. I don't want my ghosts to have axes.
Gliding
ghosts, gliding with an axe. No, you know, we're told not to run with scissors. Don't glide with axes. I think it's intriguing, and it's definitely going to go into my big book of Hat Man sightings, because recently, through this show, we've gotten Hat Man with a mouth, which is new to me, and a Hat Man with eyes, red glowing mm-hmm. eyes, also new to me, because I've been, you know, on and off really interested in Hat Man for a long time, so it's interesting to see these developments and the idea that there's some kind of entity that we are seeing more and more instances of. And then, of course, you're asking about children. Children are highly susceptible to seeing ghosts because they have not been programmed to not see ghosts. They have not been programmed to not to dismiss. You know, there comes a moment in growing up when you get to turn off a lot of it. And it's usually through pressure. It's usually through, you know, there's nothing under the bed. There's nothing in the closet. You know, the parent coming into the room and reinforcing the idea mm-hmm. that there are no scary creatures and no scary monsters. And once you accept it, those monsters lose a lot of access to you. You know, they lose the ability to imprint in your mind because you have successfully closed the door. That's why, and we've talked about it before, people who have traumatic events, they're often getting jostled in such a way that the door that they closed opens. You know, the ability to go up and down the dial on the radio station, you know, alters. And that is kind of significant in the idea of how our reality is a consensus. how we got together and said, you know what? No ghosts. Boom. We'll just that's the reality, and that's what we all agree. And everybody's like, yeah, I hate ghosts. Let's no ghosts. And some people didn't get the memo.
Right. I didn't get the memo.
And you know, there are just natural proclivities that allow you to witness and see, and being young and being open, and you know,
yeah,
children are like huge beacons, you know, just shining bright lights, and spirits really, really, really want to be close to that light.
That's true. And yes, there are absolutely monsters under the bed and in the closet. They're there.
They're there. Thank you, honey.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah, you're welcome. So
so in the chat real fast, My Killer Podcast is here.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Hello.
Yep. And My Killer Podcast says, oh, wow, I caught it live. Nice. Love the show. So, yeah, we gotta check out My Killer Podcast, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll listen to it today. And Maria Cruz said, I love how Chris is just a walking encyclopedia of knowledge on so many things. I learn so much every time I listen.
That's aww, for real.
Thanks.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Maria's the bomb. All right. So that relates to a question that we got. I've seen the Hat Man hundreds of times.
Ugh. Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Oh, okay. Hundreds.
Yes, this is Flagrant Rhymes 0909. I've seen the Hat Man hundreds of times. I also see shadow figures that were definitely not Hat Man. My question is, who or what is the Hat Man, and how does he differ from other shadow people? Do you think he's the leader of the shadow people or not related to them at all?
That's really good question. I mean, it's that really is well phrased, because I don't know if we've touched upon it enough. We don't know. That's the big one, is we don't really know what the Hat Man is, but there is theories, mm-hmm, and prevailing theories, because in many cases of the Hat Man, he seems to be a watcher. He seems to be just lurking, and so much so that there are variations on the Hat Man. The Hat Man outside, the Hat Man outside the window, the Hat Man outside the door frame.
Right.
You know, and then once he's past the threshold of your door, he seems to get a little more menacing. But that then begins to question, well, is that the Hat Man? Is that just an ominous spirit that has that form? I have a simple theory about shadow people overall, which is that shadow people are spirits that have lasted longer than their ability to present as who they were. So, you know, the classic story is Uncle Frank dies. Uncle Frank dies, and the family members, when they go to Uncle Frank's house and they're like, ooh, something's here, and they look over and they're like, ah, it's Uncle Frank. So Uncle Frank gets to look like Uncle Frank. And people are like, Uncle Frank. And I recognize Uncle Frank. He has the same, you know, looks and all these things. But over time, all those family members die, move away. They're not around. And new people are in the house. And they see somebody. And they say, ah, a man. There's a man in my house. And that does not define Uncle Frank. That takes away some of that definition. And over time, that man becomes a figure, becomes a shadow. And when it loses its definition, In my estimation, it becomes dangerous, because it desperately wants the definition. Mm-hmm. It desperately wants you to look at it and say, oh, you're Uncle Frank. Oh, I know who you are. And that's why a lot of shadow figures become associated with evil entities, because that's what we adopt for them. We look and we see a shadow figure and we're like, oh, it's a demon. And the shadow's like, yes, I'm a demon. Right. Demon, you know, and that becomes an interesting thing, because I think that shadow people in general are just looking for definition. And that's not to say that there's not a subcategory of demon, mm-hmm, that appear as shadows and not a separate thing, because a Hat Man to me almost feels and it's changing, because we get different stories, because people are telling us different things about their experiences with the Hat Man. And so I have to amend what I know about the Hat Man, because until we started this podcast, the Hat Man was a voyeur. He just watched, mm-hmm, and he was just there. And sometimes he was kind of Mothman-esque in his, you know, he foreshadowing something bad was coming, but he was there to watch the bad thing. He wasn't there to do the bad thing. He was there to witness it. So, you know, maybe he was a guardian angel. Maybe he was this, maybe he was that. I don't have an answer, but I'm loving that so many people have these stories and they're able, you know, you've seen the Hat Man hundreds of times. That's significant. That's really fascinating. Because then the question is, well, what was he doing? Where was he in your life? And at what point do you see him? You know, is he ever present? Is he a thing that, you know, you catch out of the corner of your eye? Or is it always night? Are you always, you know, looking into the dark? So if you're out there and listening, please expand. Send ghost mail to ghostmail at hauntedcity.com. And give us details because I am almost thinking we're becoming a repository for Hat Man stories.
I think we are.
Right. And it's wonderful because I'm deeply fascinated with Hat Man and have been for a long time. But now it seems like we're getting these interesting stories because a lot of people are like, well, he's a sleep paralysis demon. You know, mm-hmm. He shows up because I've had several people say that they saw him during sleep paralysis. And it's like, that's interesting because some people just see shadowy figures or some people see very distinct demons or monsters during that episode. But some people distinctly say they see the Hat Man.
Yeah. I was going to say. Chime in.
So when you were describing shadow people as being like the shell of what they used to be, and you're like, I know who you are. All I could picture was that scene in Moana where she touches Taka.
Right.
And it's like, I know who you are. And it's really Tifiti, this beautiful entity, which is a really fascinating imagery. But also, you know, it's funny because shadow people, a lot of times when people are like, oh, I have shadow people all over my house, I'm like, yeah, just ignore them. Like, they really are at the basis of what their essence is. It's just a low energy.
Remnants.
Right. And
but often, you can feed them. Don't feed the ghosts.
Don't feed the ghosts.
Don't feed the ghosts.
Don't feed the shadow people. But if you see them out of the corner of your eye, you know, don't let it faze you too much. Like you can acknowledge it, but don't worry too much about it, because usually they're just
and that's
essence.
Not to say, and again, it's not to say that there aren't malevolent forces that can disguise themselves or hide in shadows or use shadows, you know, because that's a whole different category as well. You know, there are a lot of people who would deem that the more demonic entities, the more evil entities hide from the light. You know, they do not want to be in the light. Even our artificial, you know, street light exposes them for what they are. So staying in the shadow is very important to their survival. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing. In almost every culture, when you're dealing with an evil entity, the moment you can identify it is the moment you can fight it. You know, classically in exorcisms, once you know the demon's name, you can compel it or command it, and that's true. And a lot of names are very powerful things. You know, knowing what entity you're dealing with becomes a tool to their, you know, dismantlement. So it's possible that demons hide in shadows or as shadows to avoid detection. You know, maybe Hat Man wears that hat to hide his horns. You know, maybe there's a lot of interesting notions to examine, and also. I would like to point out that the hat in question of the Hat Man is a big thing. So out there in the world, send in your thoughts on what hat the Hat Man wears. Because in my experience, the Hat Man had always worn a wide-brimmed, almost fedora-esque hat. Mm-hmm. But some people see him in a top hat.
I saw him in a top hat.
Right. And one person literally called him the Bowler Man because he was wearing a bowler hat. And I was like, is that Hat Man? Are we dealing with different entities? Does he have a hat rack? Right. I'm going out tonight. Batunk. Top hat. You know, what is it about this notion that people see? Because the bowler Hat Man, I didn't even think of as a Hat Man until much later when I was like, oh, you know, my friend actually did see this entity. And the only descriptive point was that he was wearing a bowler hat.
All right. So we, as y'all were discussing the Hat Man, we got a ton of comments and questions, actually. My Killer Podcast asks, I'm curious, why does it seem like so many viewers slash listeners are having paranormal experiences after watching slash listening to this podcast? Super interesting.
I think we're having a two girls, one ghost phenomena.
Yeah, right. And it's all about opening yourself to the possibility. The concept of being able to see, witness, or have that is how receptive you are to the concept of ghosts. A ghost does not want to present itself to somebody who's closed off. And even if you want to see a ghost, you can still be closed off. Mm-hmm. There could be something inside you that is locked. But when you listen to stories, when you hear stories, you're opening yourself up to the possibility, and that gives you a little more ability to witness what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
That is just one of those things that, and I think our next episode is going to be on Ouija boards, and that plays heavily in that. It's not about these supernatural occurrences as much as it is about your predisposition. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to ghost stories and when you listen to things and you start opening your mind to it, you're basically saying, I'm ready to see a little more. I'm ready, and it could be unwilling too. You're listening, for entertainment, but now your mind is saying, oh, you know what? This could be true. This could be, this might be what's going on. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, now I see
dead people.
Now I follow you people.
All right. And Maria Cruz said, I wonder if they're having experiences now because they are in a more open state of thought. I always see it as if you're looking for yellow trucks, you're going to see more yellow trucks.
Oh, absolutely. Right. That's a known phenomenon.
Yeah.
Is the moment, I wish I could, I should remember the name of this phenomenon, but it's basically when you first hear of something and then you see it everywhere. And it usually happens with me when I get a new car. I get a new car and all of a sudden I see that car everywhere I go. I'm like, oh, look, it's an Uberwood Twinsies. And it's like,
Twinsies.
I got a little Honda Civic hatchback a long time ago. And I don't think I'd ever seen one, really. I mean, I wasn't paying attention. But when I drive around, I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, look, right there. Yeah, it's just like mine.
It's called synchronicity. And so there's a person on TikTok who calls themselves the Synchronicity Fairy. And I'm not kidding. And so they give, a word or an image or something, and they're like,
Look for it, right?
Yeah, no, see if this shows up in your life. And so many people in the comments are like, oh my gosh, I saw, you said the word, bubbles or something. And I saw bubbles out in broad daylight just walking down the street, and there were bubbles coming at me and things like that. So I think it's, we briefly mentioned the law of attraction, and a part of it, I think, falls into that realm of, yes, if you think about yellow cars enough, you're going to start seeing yellow cars. Yep. But the basis of the law of attraction is the more you think about something, the more it will show up in your life. The example from a book that I read about law of attraction, it was basically was, if you dwell on the fact that you're like, I hate parking tickets, or I hate getting tickets. Tickets suck. I don't have money for a ticket. I don't want to speed because I'll get a ticket. Every single time you think about that, you're putting it more and more out there where the universe isn't taking the negative term of it. They're just taking the word ticket, ticket, ticket. And so the more you dwell on it, the more likely you're about to get a speeding ticket or parking ticket or things like that. And that's kind of the basis of the law of attraction. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand in that realm.
All right. And Anastasia asks, are there different kinds of shadow people?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And in a lot of ways. There's malevolent shadow figures. And I think it falls into the realm of there's different full-bodied apparitions as well. You know, there's some that are you don't want to mess with, that are malevolent, they don't have empathy, things like that. And then there's ones that are like the sweet grandma ghosts that, you know, just wants to sit in your rocking chair. It's the same way with shadow people. You know, it's some of them are just low energy. They're just looking for attention. And then there's some that like to live in the middle of the woods of Appalachia who whistle at you and things like that.
And it's interesting because, again, we throw the word demon out a lot, and it's not, we're not necessarily evoking a biblical sense or, you know, a Christian sense. It's just a good word to use because it tells you immediately that's a malevolent force, that it is a dark entity. And humans, when they come back as ghosts, their purposes become very pointed. And oftentimes when a human spirit loses sight of all other things but a single desire, even if it was a good desire, even if it was, I want to make sure my family's safe, if it becomes the sole defining thing about them, then they lose empathy, sympathy, they lose all other attributes that made them human. They will be a destructive force because they're just trying to achieve that one thing without considering consequence, without considering how much harm they can do. And that becomes a demonic element. And I think that's something that we oftentimes forget, is that we all have capacity for good and evil. And really it just comes down to whether or not we are caring and tending towards other people or not. Yeah. And when a spirit loses sight of other people and can only see their goal, regardless of what the goal is, they will harm, hurt, they will do damage to ensure, and their goal becomes warped because they can't appreciate the end result of their goal. They can only appreciate that it's what keeps them present, and they lose that identity, they lose that, you know, and so you can have these dark, shadowy entities that could be very dangerous, and not because they were, you know, quote unquote evil in life, because, you know, they were wahahaha people. It's because they lose sight of what harm they can do in pursuit of what they want.
Yeah, I agree. And but the shadow people I refer to in Appalachia, they're just non-human.
I don't think they're ever human. Yeah, because that's another thing, is you got non-human entities, which oftentimes don't have form.
Right.
You know, so shadow makes perfect sense for them. You know, they are just occupying the space where there is no light.
Yeah. And they, if you ever experience one, they suck the energy out of the air around you. It is so annoying. And if you are a para junkie, go back and watch our investigation from Helen's Bridge in Asheville. Because there was one that I kept seeing around the bridge and then through the spirit box. And still to this day, every once in a while, this comes through where I will hear this very particular whistle at me come through the spirit box. And a part of me wonders if that thing didn't attach a little bit. But
I've heard stories of that whistle, the whistle that follows people, you know. You hear it once, and then for the rest of your life, you hear it.
Yeah, it's very distinct, too.
This is weird, because Maria Cruz actually just commented, it's so weird you bring up whistling spirits. The past few weeks, when I take my dog out at night, I hear whistling. Mm. We live in the middle of the woods. It's always so eerie.
Don't look back. Do not acknowledge. Do not engage. Yeah. That is all I can, the only advice I can give you. Don't look at it. Don't acknowledge it. Don't respond to it.
Maria's been a parajunkie and listener for a while, so she's well-armed with the information.
Oh, yeah. No, I just reiterate.
She knows our prescriptions for such things.
I just reiterate things. Do not engage.
Yep, yep, yep. And Jordy Francis said, yes, I caught alive.
Woo!
And then Ashley Werner actually has an interesting story. My boyfriend didn't believe in ghosts until we visited Savannah. He's had two paranormal experiences this summer, including seeing a ghost seagull while driving home listening to the podcast.
Interesting.
A ghost seagull. That's an interesting story. Well, yeah. And that's funny to hear that he had paranormal experiences, because when I gave them a tour, you could tell he was very, he was like, how is that possible? So that's interesting to hear that sure. He's starting to become a believer. And
yes.
And have him send us the ghost seagull story, because
I'm very intrigued. Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Because a seagull actually has a lot of interesting connotations. Both like faith-based and, I'd be very interested.
Tell us more about the ghost seagull.
Tell us more, Parajunkie President Ashley Werner. Send in your ghost mail. All right, here we go. This is the last one, and then we are going to have another episode, y'all, so just, hold tight. But let's see. So we got Jamal sent in... hey guys, I really enjoy your show. After listening to your ghost hunting episode a while back, I decided to get into it.
Nice.
It's always been a special interest of mine. I notice that I catch more orbs, shadows, and unexplained creepiness on my iPhone. I'm getting a REM pod for Christmas, and I'm also hoping to get the Ovilus 5 soon once it's back in stock. With technology advancing every day, my question is, what role might technology play in the future of paranormal investigations? I think that's a great question, Jamal. Appreciate it.
So I always have a hard time discussing paranormal tinkering inventions and stuff because my brain does not comprehend fully how all these things operate. And so... I am by no means any form of an engineer, but I think technology is definitely going to play a big hand in things. I mean, you're already seeing it with the ghost tube goggle things, the VR goggles, with the AI imagery. You're seeing it, with all sorts of new little inventions, people tinkering things in ways... to try to get the most activity. But I do find that it is important to remember that sometimes the most simple tools are the best for an investigation. The Paranormal Society actually recently did an investigation where they utilized a balloon, and I'm like, that's genius. It's like...
lightweight, easy to move.
Exactly. When you're dealing with paranormal, and especially when we start to get more spirits, eventually people will pass, and there will be more spirits that are familiar with technology. But you got to think about it in the scheme of things. Technology is a fairly recent advancement in human history, so a lot of the spirits that you're dealing with might not actually know what is going on. Like, to them, they're looking at this glowing little box and they're like, that thing's from the Jetsons. Like, I've never seen anything like that, and it could be frightening. That is not to say don't use these tools, and they definitely do help and they are fun to use, they're enjoyable, but don't feel the need to always stay up to date with all the recent advancements in paranormal technology, because sometimes, just a simple cat ball, when you're trying to interact with the child spirit is, good enough. Flashlights even are excellent tools. We've had some good success even in like the Graveface Museum with, having a spirit turn a flashlight up brighter or dim it a little bit to use yes and no type questions. So I'm not knocking the advancements, but I think a lot of these people are also trying to cash in on the industry of the paranormal.
It's interesting because a lot of the technology now just kind of helps augment the experience. It helps give focus and and the thing to remember is, 200 years ago, people could not imagine transmitting a voice through the air. 100 years ago, they could not imagine transmitting video through the air. You know, 100 years from now, people might have, you know, a phone that they can call up their dead relatives for all we know. You know, we don't have all the answers. The concept being technology is moving very fast. You know, even 50 years ago, it was hard to imagine, you know, that everybody would have a computer in their house. And 30 years ago, it was hard to imagine that everyone would carry a phone in their pocket. You know, so these are advancements. This technology is actually catching up to things that we didn't completely know were out there. We didn't completely understand radio waves and how to transmit images and satellite relays and all these things. There's probably a lot that we don't know and that technology will show us. And then it will seem like we were all just silly, superstitious people. You know, it's like you thought this was ghosts when in fact it was just, you know, the fact that, you know, this planet is a way station for the next. And we can talk to the next if we really wanted to. We just, you know, didn't have the technology. So keep that in mind that I am always going to be more about experience than tech. But, man, the tech is fun.
It is. It's fun.
I love it. I love using it. And ghost hunting can be very boring. You know, ghost hunting... More times than not, you're just sitting and you're thinking this place, you know, doesn't have anything going on. And that's just the nature of it. You know, we are actually not necessarily meant to see and experience ghosts, technically. You know, there are examples of people who are supposed to be our conduits. And the rest of us, you know, we're just plugging away. So I think that... Don't get so enamored by your equipment that you forget that it's about an experience.
Mm-hmm. And but not to say don't have fun with it.
It's fun. I'm never going to say don't use equipment because it does. It adds a whole new layer of intrigue and fun and excitement.
Right. I will say though, iPhones, a burst mode, fantastic for ghost hunting and. Mm-hmm. I will always be the first to tell guests that I take on tours and things like that. You know, I'm like, take photos of your burst mode because in the past, all we had were, you know, digital cameras where you just snap that one like little shot to that moment. But now you have burst mode where you can catch a million little photos in 1 second and you can go through them and sort through things and you might catch things that you in the past wouldn't have caught. So,
and phones don't have psychology. I mean, equipment doesn't have psychology, so it's not weeding out things. You know, our psychology will oftentimes keep us from seeing something that we don't want to see. You know, it's like, nope, that isn't there. And that's pretty impressive. But, you know, that's why photographic evidence is so good, is that the equipment is not shying away from what's there.
Right. But thank you guys so much for your questions.
Great questions.
These were all fantastic.
I know. It was fun.
Another deep dive into the Hat Man, if you will. And
send us your Hat Man stories.
Yeah, send us your Hat Man stories or any of your stories at ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. Or questions. If you have questions, please send them to us. And with that, though, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.